Young people, very much. I want to invite you to open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 tonight. It's possible that this passage of Scripture took place before the account of the 10 lepers that we looked at last Sunday night. Jesus apparently traveled north from Ephraim through Samaria into Galilee, and then from Galilee he went south on the east side of the Jordan River, across the Jordan west into Judea toward Jerusalem, and he's making his way in this later Perean ministry, making his way back to Jerusalem. And so now we jump over to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm not sure how far we'll get through John 11 tonight, but we want to get started with this account in Scripture. If you're able, let's stand together. John 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Let's pray together. Merciful Father, as we come before your throne of grace again tonight, I pray you'd help us. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, help us to be ready to hear from your Spirit tonight. I pray that you'd help us to be ready to be changed by your word. Father, I pray you'd forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings and help us to come tonight with a heart willing to do your will. Help us to believe and obey your word. I pray that anyone in this service or listening online who's never been born again, that tonight would be the night they would turn from their sin and unbelief and put their faith in Jesus. Tonight, just simply in faith, they would cry out to you in prayer, ask you to forgive them, and ask you to be their Savior. Father, I pray you'd help all of us who are saved, that we'd follow you, that we would live for you and serve you through your local church. Please help me, Lord, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight, as we begin this familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 11, we see Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, three very prominent people, a very prominent family in Scripture that we read about often. And what you want to see, first of all, tonight is the purpose of this sickness. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, this was Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment. There's a little bit of debate whether this is the same one, a woman who was a sinner who came in Luke 7. And you remember she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and washed his feet with her hairs. But we also find, if you'll just flip over to John 12 and verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of ointment. Some think that it's the same thing, and others would say it's a different account. I would lean towards the fact that John is actually referring to Mary and what she was about to do. It's all part of his gospel. It's not like he's waiting to see what happens in the next chapter. It's all already been done, right? So he's giving us his historical record of the life and ministry of Jesus. So I think that this reference, I personally believe that the woman in Luke 7 is actually someone completely different. But we see this great love and devotion that she had to the Savior. When Lazarus got sick, they sent to the Lord. I want you to notice that their message wasn't, our brother is sick. Look at it there in verse 3. They didn't say, Lord, our brother's sick. Lord, Lazarus is sick. But he knew the message was from Mary and Martha, and they said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus knew exactly who it was. Hey, when we pray, we can pray on the basis of God's great love for us and for others. Isn't that good? Hey, Lord, somebody I love sick. Somebody I love needs your help. But more importantly, somebody that you love. Somebody that you love is sick. Somebody that you love is hurting. Somebody that you love needs your comfort and care. Somebody that you love needs to be saved. Somebody that you love needs you to work in their lives. And they cried out to Jesus. They sent the message and said, "Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus gives us the purpose of this sickness. He says in verse 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." This is for the glory of God. Now, Lazarus was sick. If you've read the rest of the story, you know what's going to happen to Lazarus. But the purpose of this sickness was for the glory of God. This is really good for us to hear today. Bad things are going to happen in your life. Lazarus was somebody who Jesus loved, and still Jesus allowed him to get sick. We know there are people in our church that are hurting. They're suffering. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. Jesus loves. And he loved Lazarus even though he allowed him to be sick. There was a purpose in the sickness. Now, there's no contradiction here when Jesus says this sickness is not unto death. In other words, the purpose of this sickness is not so Lazarus will die. The purpose of this sickness is so that God will be glorified. I want you to notice how this glorification works in verse 4. "But for the glory of God, that," or "so that," or "in order that," "the Son of God might be glorified thereby." You see, God is going to get glory. And for God to get glory, then Jesus has to get glory. And when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus said, when he comes, he'll testify of me. He's going to point to me. You see, everything that happens in our lives, every work of God in our lives, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through Jesus, it all points back to the glory of God the Father. Jesus lived for the glory of God. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now listen, I don't know about you, but when I get sick, I want relief and I want it immediately. Amen. All the guys said amen because we're all a bunch of wimps. But let's not pretend like you ladies like to be sick either, okay? When there's an accident, when an accident occurs, you want to get somebody to help as quickly as possible. Right? They tell us when somebody has a stroke, seconds matter. They tell us when somebody has a heart attack that those seconds matter, those minutes matter. I don't know. When I cut my knee on that miter saw, I was in a pretty big hurry to get to the hospital. Like, let's go ahead and get this thing stitched up. Need stitches? Let's go get it stitched up. Anytime there's an accident, you don't want to wait around when somebody breaks their arm. You don't want to just hang out for a while. You want to go get that thing fixed. And so when we look at it, we say, why would he delay? But I want you to understand that God's delays are always by design. God always does everything exactly on time. And sometimes he wants us to wait. I want you to look at this, Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. He says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Listen, bad things are going to happen. Sometimes God's going to step away. He's going to allow some things to happen. He stepped back and allowed Satan to have some power over Job's life. He gave him that for a little time, but at some point God said, that's enough. God may allow you to go through some sickness, but at some point there's going to be enough. Why? Because God has eternal purposes. God is going to work in your life. God's delays are always by design. He knows exactly what he's doing. And if you're a child of God, everything that gets to you has to come through him. Everything that gets to you has to come through him. And the purpose of the sickness of Lazarus was the glory of God. And when you just come through this and you don't know the end of the story, that's hard to understand. But that's where faith is. You see, most of you have read the story. Most of you know what happened to Lazarus. Most of you know the whole thing and how it ends up. Some of you do that when you get a new book. You read a little bit, then you skip to the end to see how it's going to end. Don't you? I can't do that. I got to get it as it comes, right? And guess what? In life, we know the end of the book, but we don't know all the steps between here and there. And that's where faith comes in, that God is in control every step of the way. We see the purpose. Verse 7. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, when you look at verse 9 again, are there not 12 hours in the day? The Jews of Bible days, they took the day from the time the sun came up to the time the sun went down. That was the day. Okay? Now, we know that time actually varies, doesn't it? Our daylight is more in the summertime and less in the wintertime, but they divided it into 12 equal parts throughout the year. So at some times, the 12 parts of the day, the 12 hours of the day, would be more or less. Everybody with me? In the wintertime, you got less time. They're still divided into 12 parts, but there's not as much time in those 12 parts. In the summertime, it's more. Now look, Jesus says there are 12 hours in the day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Listen, we've got a limited amount of daylight. Jesus is always saying he must be about his Father's business. He came to do the will of his Father, right? I've only got a certain amount of time to do what I'm supposed to do. And I've got to go to Judea. I've got to go see Lazarus, because he's asleep and I need to wake him up. He says you got to walk in the day, because when you walk in the day, you don't stumble, because you can see the light of this world. Now, when the Lord talks about the light of the world, when he talks about walking in the night and stumbling because there is no light, he's not talking about natural light, physical light. He's talking about spiritual light. He's talking about the truth of the Word of God. And when you're filled up with the truth of the Word of God, you can see to walk. But when we get filled up with the influences of the world, when we allow Satan to whisper lies in our ear and we believe them, when we follow the lust of the flesh, then we walk in darkness and we stumble. We've got to learn to walk in the light, walk in the Spirit, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. We need to walk according to his perfect will. The purpose was to glorify God, and the purpose was so that men would believe. In verse 11, he said these things. He said, and after that he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. I appreciate that. Hey, when you're sick, what's the best thing in the world? To go to sleep. Why? Because if you're unconscious, you don't know how bad you feel. Listen, when I get sick, all I want to do is crawl in bed and not wake up again until I feel better. Anybody with me? I mean, that's not the reality. Most of the time we got stuff we got to do. And hey, the disciples, they cared about Lazarus, they too. Jesus said he's asleep. I'm going to go wake him up. And they're like, that's not very nice. If he's asleep, that's good. Let him sleep. When I read passages like this, it makes me feel a little bit better, because when I read the Bible, sometimes I am absolutely clueless. I'm like, I have no idea what they just said. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what the Lord's talking about here. And guess what? The disciples who were standing there looking at Jesus, listening to him, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought they had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Praise God when he gives it to us plainly. I mean, that's what I need. Like, I appreciate the parable and the illustration, that's good, but I'm with the disciples when they go to him privately and they say, what did that mean? You're talking about sowing and sowers and soil and all this stuff, but we don't understand. That's the way I am. I need Jesus to just lay it out for me plainly. So he says plainly, Lazarus is dead. And listen to this. Sometimes Jesus says shocking things, doesn't he? Lazarus is dead. And verse 15 says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad I wasn't there to heal him. I'm glad I wasn't there to save his life. I'm glad I wasn't there to prevent him from dying. For your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. There was a purpose in the sickness of Lazarus. And the purpose was for the glory of God. And the purpose was for the faith of others. Isn't that amazing? Where does Lazarus play into this? It wasn't about him. The things that happen in your life, even the tragedies that happen in your life, God will bring it about for good. But you need to understand that it really isn't about you. You say, well, I know that. It's all about God. We want to give him glory. But even then, it's not about you. It's about other people. You see, when God brings things into your life, when God puts you through things, when God allows you to go through trials, he wants to bring you through it better, yes, but he wants to use your life to bring other people to Christ. Verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Jesus says, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said, no, hold on, that's where the Pharisees are. And last time we were around them, they were ready to kill you. They were going to stone you. He says, listen, Lazarus is dead, and I need to go there. You know, we drop everything for a funeral, don't we? Disciple says, listen, that's dangerous to go up there, but if Lazarus is dead, then let's go. Some people think that Thomas is saying, let's go that we may die with him, and they think that he's talking about Lazarus. Lazarus is dead, we'll go be dead too. I don't really see that at all. I think more what he's saying is, if Jesus is going to go to Judea, and the Pharisees are going to catch him and stone him to death, then I say, we go with Jesus. Amen. And if he dies, we die. Kind of reminds me of Ruth. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you stay, I'll stay. Your God will be my God. We need to have a heart that says, I'll go wherever Jesus goes, no matter what the cost. There's a price to pay for living for Jesus. There's also a price to pay for not walking with Jesus. Adrian Rogers used to have preached a sermon several times. You may have heard the high cost of low living. There's a price to pay for not following Jesus. It's going to bring you trouble in this life, but far worse, if you don't trust in Jesus, you spend eternity separated from God. You see, I'm always amazed at people. They look at what it takes to be a Christian. They look at what it takes to live for Jesus. They look at some of the things they're going to have to give up to be a real disciple, and they say, I don't want to do that. It costs too much. But Thomas had this bright and shining moment when he said, listen, if Jesus is going to Judea and he might die there, then I say let's go with him. And if he dies, we die. Things are changing in America today. And I think that we're just now starting to get a taste of what the rest of the world has been experiencing for centuries. We've had it good, so good that we've been spoiled and we don't even have a clue. It's going to be more and more difficult in America, if things continue the way they are, to live for Jesus. You're going to have to take a stand. When the government says you can't go to church, you're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to go to church or not. Whatever the reason is, the commandment hasn't changed. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We come together because God tells us to. You're going to have to make a choice. When the government tells you that you can't sing in church, that it's against the law to worship our Savior, you're going to have to make a decision. Now listen, I know that there's some danger out there, and I know that there's people want to tell you it's poor time, but I'm telling you, you need to pay attention to what's going on. And we can go along to get along, and we can be careful and guard other people's health, but listen, we cannot do so when it's in direct disobedience to the Word of God. It's going to be a cost. There's going to be a cost. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be Pharisees that will want to take your life and take your freedom because you're trying to follow Jesus. Listen, I know that's not very popular, and I know that some people may say that's just a conspiracy theory talking, but if you'll study your Bible, you'll find that bad things are coming. Thomas said, let's also go that we may die with him. There was some real danger, some real reason to be concerned. But the purposes that Jesus had given were enough for Thomas. We don't always hold Thomas in high regard. And there's no way Thomas could stand on his own. God wants to work things out in your life for his glory. And he wants to use the circumstances of your life to bring people to faith in Christ. Are you sick tonight? I don't mean physically sick, because you'd stay home if you were right now, right? Are you sick spiritually? Are you sick emotionally? Are you sick mentally? There should have been some amens on that one. Are there some trials and some difficulties and some hard things in your life? God wants to use those things for his glory. And he wants to use what happens in your life to bring others to faith in himself. Whatever's going on in your life, I want to challenge you to trust Jesus. To say, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you lead, I'll follow. Whatever you call me to do, I'll do it. Even unto death. Let's stand together. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart tonight. Burden, trial, anything going on that maybe you don't even understand. If God's convicting your heart or you just got some burdens you need to lay down, I want to challenge you like I did this morning to get real with God. Let's not pretend that we're okay when we're not okay. Whatever's going on in your life, turn it over to the Lord while we sing.